putting downsizing and consolidation on trial.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, has the privatization of public space gone too far? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are lower at the open this morning. The Dow down 98 points, about 0.8% at 12,372. NASDAQ down about 0.5%, and the S&P 500 down about 0.8%. European markets also lower this morning amid reports that Standard & Poor's is about to downgrade several Eurozone countries. Well, in Washington, in just a couple hours, President Obama will outline new plans to shrink government. He's going to ask Congress to give him the authority to merge departments and agencies, starting with a consolidation plan for six government offices involving trade and commerce. Our Washington Bureau Chief, John Dimsdale, reports.
The White House says it can save $3 billion over 10 years by combining related agencies like the U.S. Trade Representative and the Export-Import Bank and the Small Business Administration. New York University government professor Paul Light says that may be easier said than done because every government office has powerful political supporters.
All these agencies are owned by congressional committees and subcommittees, and it's difficult to do without some sort of expedited authority that provides an up-and-down vote.
The president will say he has other ideas for streamlining government and wants Congress to commit to voting on them within 90 days after he proposes them. Light figures all told, there could be $100 to $150 billion in savings from eliminating duplication and bureaucracy across the government. Light says Republicans do support leaner government, and the president will ask them to step up to the plate, even though they may be reluctant to give this president more power. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Well, the plan John was just talking about is a fitting end to a week in which the whole idea of downsizing came under the microscope. Not downsizing in the public sector, but in the private sector. I'm talking about the attacks on Republican presidential frontrunner Mitt Romney's time at Bain Capital, a private equity firm that made its money by taking over companies and cutting costs, often in a painful way. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial. He's with us from New York live, as he is every Friday. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Well, I want to start with a clip from an anti-Romney video that is running in South Carolina this week with very sad stories of people who were laid off from companies taken over by Bain while Romney was in charge.
Their livelihoods was there. They were making a good wage. And this company comes in and they knock it all away. They knock their wages down. They take their jobs away. And then eventually, they closed the plant.
All right. So, Chris, a very sad story from a woman who was laid off. And I want to ask you, are the things that private equity firms like Bain do necessary in our economy, or is this needless cruelty?
Yeah, this is sort of the nature of the business cycle. It's what economists call creative destruction. And I guess that's why we get called dismal scientists. It's the ugly side of markets, which is that capital often ends up in places where it cannot earn a return. And we go through a process of ultimately having to cut those areas back. It is painful. It is ugly. But by freeing up the capital, it can be put to work in other places, hopefully creating jobs elsewhere.
Well, I think the other thing that people get so angry about, though, when they hear about these kinds of things, is that as these private equity firms are shutting down businesses, they're often the people in charge of them are making hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, that's right. And I think there's two things to think about there. One of them is that the investors in that company, ultimately, if the company's not profitable and it's not profitable forever, the company's going to go out of business. There'll be no return on investment. They're willing to pay a lot to someone who can come in and turn that around. Whether it's too much, you know, that's something the voters have to decide. And whether the right cuts are made or it's fair, I think we're going to have a long discussion about this as long as Romney's the front runner.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the Internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
Now to New Jersey, where the governor has just signed a bill to allow private firms to run some public schools. The move comes just less than 2 weeks after the state of Ohio privatized several state prisons. For more on this wave of privatization, let's bring in Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Chris, a privatization of public space has been going on for a long time in this country, at least since the Reagan years. Is it happening a lot more now?
Oh, Jeremy, it's happening a lot more now. Now, part of it is, you know, state and local governments are under enormous pressure, so they need to raise money, so they'll privatize some public housing, maybe the parks. I mean, they're moving all over, but it really came home to me last weekend. I was at a conference, Mark Udoff, president of the University of California, and he was bemoaning and talking about the privatization of the public university, you know, the sense that, yes, you get a degree, you get lifetime earnings, that's a really good thing, therefore you should pay more, but he's worried about that trend.
Well, obviously, these organizations, whether they be universities or governments, are doing this because they are low on cash, as you say. Is there any way around this, Chris?
Oh, yes, there is, because in an earlier era, there was a lot more taxpayer support. There was a lot more public support. The public university isn't just a private good. It also is about being citizens, about the knowledge in our society, innovation, creativity, you know, everybody moving up together. And so what, you know, I worry about, whether you're looking at universities or parks or even things like prisons, you know, are we losing the sense of a social good, a social compact, the commonwealth, that we're all in this together?
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Check us out online. We're at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
For most, Friday is the end of a long, hard week. But for us, we're just getting started.
We're clearly in this cycle of healing again.
But it goes kind of up, down, down, up.
I think we discovered something wonderful when our credit got downgraded.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap. Everything you need to know about the week's big economic news and oh so much more. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.